Well, why don't we stand up and open in prayer, and then we'll sing some songs to the Lord. Our Father, thou art holy, and all of thy works are done in truth. On this new moon day, we with thy creation praise thy name, O Yahweh. For as thou hast commanded, all were created. As thou establishest the heavens forever and ever by a decree which shall not pass away, so we come. As thou hast appointed the moon for seasons which are for thy worship, so we worship. As the moon be a faithful witness of thy covenant, as is spoken in your word, in the heavens, ordained by your word, so we praise your faithfulness. As it is, so shall it be commanded in thy kingdom to come, in the new heavens and the new earth, that all flesh shall worship before thee, from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another. As thou hast said by thy holy prophets, so do we come before thee this day, which thou hast made, O Lord. We now bow the knee, and we confess the name of Jesus Christ to the glory of thou our Father. We ask you to accept our humble prayer, praise, and worship this day through the sanctification of the Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord. And mediator, our high priest. Amen. And so our song of praise for today is from Psalm 148, which is specifically tied to God's glory in the heavens.
Alleluia.
Just a bit of testimony.
Which comes from Hebrews chapter 8, 7 through 13, which can also be found in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. And then following that is the pledge of the covenant, which God promises, which is why we do it on the new moon, of Jeremiah 31, 35 through 37. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith,
Behold, the day comes, saith Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt.
Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith Yahweh.
For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord.
I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother,
saying, Know the Lord.
For all shall know me from the least to the greatest.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.
In that he saith, A new covenant he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Pledge of the Covenant. Thus saith Yahweh, which giveth the sun for a light by day,
and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar.
Yahweh of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahweh,
then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever.
Thus saith Yahweh,
if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath,
I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahweh. We're going to end there with resuscitations. Maybe to the tune of Fountain, though Psalm 19 loosely.
Oh.
Dominion over me, righteous and innocent, I from my sin shall be. The words which from my mouth proceed, the thoughts sent from my heart. Accept, O Lord, for thou my strength and my Redeemer art.
Amen. We also have one more psalm here to the tune of Dunlap's Creek. It's only part D. And the reason why we sing this today is because of how it ties the covenants of God to the heavens once again, and it shows us how we remember the covenant made with Christ, the Son of David, which is based in the faithfulness of God. But God says it's like the moon's faithfulness. And so I've heard many people in my life tell me, "Oh, the moon's erratic. You can't use that as a calendar. It's not predictable." And I say, "Well, the Bible says it's actually a faithful witness." So you're kind of contradicting the Bible there. So that's one of the reasons why this section is important, because it doesn't just teach us about calendar worship, but it also teaches you about Christ's covenant, which God himself proclaimed that way. So very important. Let's give a hum for this one, since we're not horribly old for us. Corinthians 3:1-18 as a as an ending resuscitation we use at this time also. And so it's in the back of our loose leaf handout. Do we begin again to amend ourselves, or need we, as some other epistle of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you?
Nay, for we are to be epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men.
We are to be manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ ministered.
Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of heart.
What trust have we through Christ to Godward?
That we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God.
Yes, of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the new covenant.
Not of the letter, but of the Spirit.
For what does the letter alone?
The letter killeth.
But what doth the Spirit alone?
The Spirit giveth life.
For know the ministration of death by the letter, written and engraved in stone, was glorious.
So glorious that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away.
How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious?
For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory.
For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory of the Spirit that excelled.
For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech.
Not as Moses, which put this veil over his face, for Moses did so to put away and veil the glory of the letter of death and condemnation.
This the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to see the end of.
This is abolished, for their minds were blinded.
For until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the old covenant. It is this veil which is done away in Christ.
Therefore, even unto this day when Moses is read, this veil is upon the heart of those who cannot steadfastly behold the glory of the Spirit and the Word of God.
Nevertheless, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away.
Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Let us all with open face behold him as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, and be changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen.
That's an excellent catechism that comes right out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you ever want to know how things work. And so we also use this time and ending for a recital of the Athanasian Creed, which is in the back of our psalm books, which helps to confirm to us the mysteries of God that have been revealed in Scripture. We have those handed out since we didn't get them. And then we are going to call this new meeting adjourned shortly after. Now, this is a historic lesson, so we put it at the very end because it's not part of Scripture, but it contains Scripture, and this is the official belief of the Trinity as we understand it and we know it in this fellowship. And so we hold it in high regard as the elders who came before us in the Christian faith established this. And for our learning and for our teaching, so I think it's very important. The longest of the historic creeds of the first three centuries. Whosoever will be saved before all things, it's necessary they hold the uniting faith.
But to say that everyone do keep holy and undefiled, without doubt, he shall perish everlastingly.
In the uniting faith is this, that we worship one Yahweh God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance.
For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit.
But the Godhead of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is all one.
The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, and the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but there is one eternal.
As also there are not three uncreated, nor three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite.
So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, and the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So likewise the Father is Lord, and the Son Lord, and the Holy Spirit Lord.
And yet there are not three Yahwehs, but one Yahweh. Yes.
For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity, or truth, to acknowledge that every person by himself to be God and Lord,
so are we forbidden by the united religion to say there be three gods or three lords.
The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten.
The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is afore or after another, none is greater or lesser than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal and co-equal.
So that in all things, as aforesaid, the unity is in Trinity, and the Trinity is in unity, and that is to be worshipped.
He therefore that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity.
Moreover, it's necessary in everlasting salvation that one believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man.
God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the world, and man of the substance of the Mother, born in the world.
Perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting.
Equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood.
Who although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but he is one Christ.
One, not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking of manhood into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by the unity of person.
For as a reasonable soul in flesh is one man, so God in man is one Christ.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead.
He ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father God Almighty.
From whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
At whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies.
And shall give an account for their own works.
And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire.
This is the uniting faith which except one believe, they are not saved. And so one of the reasons it's so important to go over that is because it really helps identify the places where Christ is inferior to the Father, equal to the Father. A lot of what we've been covering in the last month, actually, very important stuff. And I'm very thankful for the wise men who devoted time to put that together for our learning. And we'd learn a lot if we'd start out with that foundation. And so hopefully the people younger than me will benefit from it, as I did not have that opportunity. So. Brother Christian, would you mind offering some prayer today for
No,
us?
No, I would not. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for another day of your grace and mercy, Lord. And thank you for the new moon today. And thank you for this convocation. I pray that, that we would take what was said from your word and meditate on it. Thanks for Brother Roger sharing some of his experiences throughout life. Thanks for that song that he sung, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would just cause us to abide in your Son and to bear much fruit, and that we would bring honor and glory to your name. Help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. In Jesus' name.
Brother Rick.
Yeah.
All right, well, we are going to, we'll be meeting on, of course, Saturdays from here on out for the rest of the month, and so we'll just keep that in mind. And, I know you guys are rushing out the door, so.
Yeah.
But that food sure smells good for fellowship, I don't know. You might want a plate before you go, or at least eat it in the car.
All right. I'll be honest, I've been seeing something. Sounds really good.